worldview question of the week.
Yeah.
No kidding.
She's talk just being boldness. Bold. She's being bold. So how are we supposed to be bold in our faith, Nancy, is the big question.
Well, you know, I think we should probably start with what boldness isn't. Yeah. We think of it often as, you talk about a doormat, it's the opposite of that. And I think we tend to think that it's being brash and aggressive and overpowering to make a point or to force a point, really. Essentially, what we're talking about from a biblical sense is this idea of being courageous, having the courage that comes from God to not only speak, but live out the truth of Christ in the Bible when necessary. And we know those times, and it's interesting, isn't it, when the Holy Spirit kind of pushes you to say something and you go, no, I'm not doing it. You know, this kind of feel where the Holy Spirit within us works so hard. But we need to understand that Scripture is very clear on this. Again, we're going to look at some examples of that in a second, but we are commanded to be bold. And those of you that are hiding behind your shyness are going to have to peek out on the curtains, because we're commanded to be bold.
Okay, now you talked about what biblical boldness is not. Now explain how we're supposed to be bold in our faith. What does that look like?
I think it's being brave, being courageous, in speaking out regardless of the risks or the consequences. And this is when it gets tricky. If you're at work, let's say, and a coworker that you want to be friends with ask you if you're one of those born-again Christians, you know, and kind of a cynical twist to it, how would you answer that? You know, would you deny or would you skirt around it? How would you do it? And swallowing and running away isn't the answer to this. You know, and for students, you're in class and the professor says anyone with any brains must reject the idea of a God who created the universe. And again, keep in mind, we have 70% of Christian kids leaving their faith and by the time they finish with college. What do you do? What does your child do, or niece or nephew? What do they do? How do they respond to that? And sadly, most of them say nothing. They say nothing for two reasons. One, they don't have the courage. And two, they have no idea what they believe. But this is the thing. If we can train up people that know what they believe, then when the Holy Spirit pushes us or nudges us, we are to be bold in speaking the truth with gentleness and respect without apology. And this is so important for us to realize that being bold doesn't have to be rude. It is just speaking out in the language of those that are receiving it with gentleness and respect. In this whole idea from a Christian worldview perspective, just we should never deny Christ. Never. But acknowledge truth. And again, we don't want to, you know, do anything to cause people to stumble, but we need to be bold, and we're not bold. And we look at the churches, they're so broken because we see stuff, we know stuff, and we're saying, I don't want to say anything, I don't want to stir anything up, and consequently, we've got a mess on our hands, don't we?
Well, give us an example then of some scripture that help us back up that boldness.
Yes, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. To that end, Paul says, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And by the way, he's talking about the death and resurrection of Jesus there. And then Peter says, even in 1 Peter 3:14-16, even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Don't fear what they fear. Do not be shaken. But in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Wow. Always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. But respond with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who slander you may be put to shame by your good behavior. In other words, Christians, don't act like a know-it-all. Speak out with gentleness and respect. Mm. So it's great advice. It's just great advice. But if you notice in here, always be prepared to give the reason for your hope. Well, do you have an understanding of why you believe, of what you believe?
Yeah.
And that's all also a part of that. But today is just, look, be bold, be sweet, be happy, be kind, be encouraging in your boldness. And that is essentially what this is all about.
Well, I think we've got to be careful in our boldness, too. I mean, I know we are to come boldly. We are to be bold-speaking Christians. But we can very easily, if we are not careful and paying attention, fall into that gray area between our Christian boldness and worldly boldness. And we don't want to represent Christ in a wrong or bad way. So take another step forward, Nancy, and share a little bit more about how worldly boldness differs from biblical boldness, because we cannot afford to get that wrong.
Well, I think we need to be passionate. I've never been accused of not being passionate about my faith because I know it's true and I want people to know it. And that's the thing. But worldly boldness, I think, is to break somebody down, to run over somebody. It's not with the idea, I want to build you up. I want you to know Jesus and I want to do it gently. Worldly boldness is to persuade strongly. And I know we've all seen this. Through verbal confrontation or bullying. It's there. It's in the church and it's clearly in the world that we push ourselves to be heard and accepted to those present. In this whole idea of being kind and honorable and sensitive are thrown to the wind. But for the Christian, boldness comes from an act of the Holy Spirit. It was given to us, you know, by God through the Holy Spirit, who urges us to speak out truth in love, even when others might not welcome it. And this is the thing. If you're a people person, please listen, people pleaser, listen to this. Because when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit, it is necessary. It's a call of God to speak out lies and deceit without fear of rejection, even if we are rejected. Don't fear that. Do what's right. And if our words are spoken with kindness and hope that truth would be considered in this situation or at best embraced, then God will get the glory. And that's what's so important as we Christians are, some of us are in that dogfight for truth. We need to hold our cool. We need to be kind and sensitive and speak truth and let the Holy Spirit do the work there. I've been reminded several times by the Holy Spirit that there's only one Holy Spirit. Nancy, just back off a little bit. So I don't know if anybody else can relate to that. But indeed, that's the idea. Look, don't back down. Don't back down.
Well, I think, too, that it's important for us to understand that God honors when we do stand for him, when we do speak the truth. It may not be in that moment, but it will come. He will always be faithful to that. Can you give us an example of some places in Scripture where we might find biblical boldness?
Yes, I think one of the most significant things found in the New Testament is Acts 2. I love it. Keep in mind that when Jesus was arrested and carried off to be judged and whipped and then hung on a cross to die, where were the disciples? Well, John was there, we know, with Mary, but the rest just got out of there. They were terrified that the same would happen to them, for sure. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he went directly to them. Actually, he appeared to them so that the disciples could see that Jesus did exactly what he said he would do. He would die and 3 days later raise again. And at that point, he walked with them, as you know, if you're familiar with the New Testament, he walked with the disciples and other followers and taught them for another 50 days. And on his last day on earth, Jesus ascended into heaven and then sent the Holy Spirit to indwell the apostles and all the believers that followed. And the formerly timid disciples became fearlessly bold. And we know how many of them died, but for one. They suffered horrible deaths. Many of them were persecuted in their lives. But because they were bold in their faith, you and I are here talking on the radio about the love of Jesus. It's not easy to be a follower of Jesus. Clearly, it's difficult. But it's the one that brings true peace and joy and love. And it's the way God wants us to live in boldness, godly boldness, so that others might come into the faith. And we see Peter, who was the coward of coward, and we know denied Christ three times on the night that he was, you know, he was standing in front of three different judges, essentially, and then sent to the cross. Peter was hiding. But yet, when the Holy Spirit came, boom, it was all over. I mean, there he is addressing 3,000 people, 3,000, which was the beginning of the church, as to why Jesus died, why he rose again, and all about the faith. And then it goes on in Acts 2:37 through 40. Now, when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself." And this is a charge to us. You know, this is a charge to us to make our faith be known. And then he goes on and he says, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretched out your hand to heal, and signs of wonders are performed through your name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they heard and prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God. How? With great boldness. There, mm-hmm. There it is again. It's amazing how God equipped us. If we're willing, he's ready.
Yep, he is. Hey, Nancy, we've got just 2 minutes left. Sum up for us why biblical boldness is more important now than ever.
I'll tell you, I can get very passionate about this. In these days of incredible deception, widespread corruption, come on, in the culture and in our churches, we need truth spoken out and lived out from the Christian community as never before. We have to stop hiding. We need boldness that does not waver from the truth of God. We all need truth spoken with love and wisdom and humility that will be a beacon of light in the darkness. It needs to be seen and it needs to be heard. And today, people are desperate for truth. And you, as bold Christians, are called by God to be his hands and feet that will bring hope to many outside of the church walls and within, my friends. That's how bad it is getting. And that is why we must take God's command extremely seriously, and it's right here, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and said, "With all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all of I've commanded you. And here's the blessing. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's plan. He is with us. And although it seems like darkness has overcome us, God has a plan. And guess what? It involves all of us. And we must come out of hiding and speak truth. We just have to.
Well, as we go through this, Nancy, our scripture today tells us when we can walk away from situations or people that we encounter that are causing consternation or being divisive. And this is where biblical boldness comes into play. And it's lived out in our Christian life. And we were talking earlier about Jesus driving out the money changers in the temple and that rebuke that was taking place when he witnessed them basically desecrating the temple. When we're talking about this kind of biblical boldness, how do we pray in our life? How do we pray that we have the strength to actually overcome this?
Well, you know, one thing, Steve, that's a great thought. And I pray all the time that I can be that light.
Yeah.
And I have to be willing and ready and expect questions to come. But I will say this to the Christian church. So many are leaving churches. I'm for one, to be honest with you. I just, when the false gospel was preached from the pulpit, I've got to get out of there. Mm. But it wasn't before I spoke out. And if we are leaving churches and carrying our junk into other churches, it's not going to work. We have to speak out. Before you leave, you have to speak out with boldness as to what is going on there from your perspective and have civil discussion with an elder. Usually the pastor won't speak to anybody, you know, in that case. But honestly, then if there's no change in the gospel isn't being taught and if they're not teaching biblically, we have no choice but to leave and to help build up a church that's speaking the truth. But honestly, I will tell you this sincerely. If I weren't in the Word of God every day, and I am just so not legalistic at all, but I meet with God. You know why? Because I have to.
Yeah.
I cannot make it through a day, especially in ministry, and especially of a life, and especially trying to control my passion for teaching people that they get it. Because I grew up, you know, for 32 years not getting it. So I have this passion that people know what, come on. But I have to pray for discernment, but always with boldness. Lord, give me boldness sweetened with your Holy Spirit. I just pray it because quickly a passion can turn into aggressive behavior. And but then again, you know, Steve, people will call out, well, you're just aggressive. No, I'm passionate because I speak with love.
Well, and God is going to honor that when we do speak out against that which is ungodly. Nancy, this has been awesome. Appreciate your efforts, your work to bring a teaching. And I cannot wait for the next one. But we're going to tell everybody if you are interested to find out more about Anchors Away in the ministry, in the biblical worldview, then I want you to go on over to anchorsaway.org or go to kellyandsteve.org right under the resources tab. You're going to find all the information.